Let's get going.
Yeah.
Start it up.
Okay.
Hey, man,
if I want
to publish it, by do whatever you want to. You can do whatever. Boy, you know, John, wipe your ass with
them.
I don't care what you want to do.
I think the one here about the Goodyear blimp burning Pepsi is really pretty. Yes. The NFL today. That's David Paul. I think that was. I think that would be very appropriate.
Go for it. All right. Okay.
Well, we seem to do these things about twice a year, so I guess this is the fall edition of the Joe Google Poetry Corner. And, I guess I'll begin. This poem is called To Laura. Shivering with beauty's ting, a wind, a tone, sifting, falling, the music of an ordinary night. Cosmic sings, she with wings, under the skin where all pulses, into the darkness where radiance reigns.
Yeah.
All right.
Good closing line.
This is called Regions of the Earth.
Oh, not that idiot from Doom.
Regions of the Earth. Good title. Okay.
Tonight, I am intent on phantasmal reality. But a dull ache is a reminder that I have yet to sweep through the dust. The mystic heart is a dirty place to be.
That's good. Okay. This is called At Radio's Edge. I listen to Gregorian chants, not knowing or needing to know what notion of God it swerves and dies for. I just pick up the beauty. Beauty high and sprung from no ordinary speakers. A terminal wired passion that throttles the mind, tightens the gut. Joy and pain, yet continuity, layered and lashed to old Latin horses. Not words off the tongue, but swells, pushing and breaking, hitting up against dark cloister walls, releasing an ache and a vacancy, too pure and too bright to abide.
So I'm gonna drink my beer till it's coming out of my ears.
Regret, linked by hands, strangers and twins held a cup of softness between them. And sometimes, when the pain was falling, they'd hurry the hurt soul beneath their overturned cup and let him languish in the mystery of sourceless, unbidden love. This is called The Starkness, to Laura. The starkness of this new thing, gray light dousing, where we pulse. Blue shadows here and there. Carnies of eternities and lies. You waylaid my grasping the red ghost. The sadness of this blue thing. You can't nurse my head, my heap of dead dawns. I can't recover your first good morning poppy. Is our young road certain, leaden, or dull? You are being rendered by a corrosive angel. The softness of this free thing, a tumbling hunger, excess shine, a beaten, shimmering fear now hushed. When I swallow your skin, I believe. Fingertip to fingertip, something fault inflames. the stillness lapping hard we bring. Love a ton of ice in our tropics, frantic melting, futile merging, dare we really drown together. Love the noose a falling man grapples with.
Yeah. Right. Love a ton of ice in our tropics. Yeah, I love that line.
Thank you.
Verse 3.
Yeah.
I was in the high, and now I'm crying, because I was in the high. I took all that time off, and I don't know why.
His soul is racked
and needs to run starless until the right force has it. But this we both know. Sometimes, like a county fair it is, miraculous centrifuge spinning above mooning livestock, shunted against noise and glitter of carnal airs. The world assembles lust, and people do thirst in the same spot on the same evening, for no other reason than all possible shapes may entwine. So, we ramble, sputter, and spark upon green earth, up through blue sky, riding the beast or leasing the cart, haunted, blessed, and better, yet still stuck on the seeking. But one morning, it all drops. You, under your tree, stop pursuing, yet don't stop not pursuing. An odd and final freedom allows you to begin, and ground and horizon become one in the delicacy of no mind. And I, too, look slower at the way it all unfolds. I would like to stop, indiscriminate and blissful, be done forever with the thoughts that can never quite say what they always intend. But my bloodship snags on the pretty swells of desire and language. And not yet will I not praise and drink down your bowl of silent light.
That was really good.
That's perfect.
Bowl of silent light.
No, no, this is new stuff.
Okay.
Is that complete?
I think so.
Okay,
Ray.
You carry the piercing night around this morning. Nothing will happen today. All stillness. The day gypsies like it. This they dance on, surfaces sticky with sunlight and sex. The night is twisted, inside trees. The night is hid, huddled, forest mulling on gypsies. A dragon, a white dragon, cold skin hungry for dust, for mulling. You flapping by day, fire breathing by night.
Yeah.
Good. Did they
only have a title?
Oh, yeah. That's, I like that best.
Angel of sublimity today, Rick.
My friend Dave, who's not here tonight. Now, he's a painter. If you were to kind of like drink three more per ounce of wine. Get about three or four special little cigarettes you can get.
That's all part of his plan.
And eat about three or four.
It's not hypothetical. Yeah. You know, right?
You know,
this is reality.
And also munch down three or four special mushrooms.
Ah,
if you did all that,
I'll talk to Alex. Okay.
You might see him in front of you. All right.
Because
he's like real out there.
Wow.
And but he's a he doesn't do anything. He's a
preternaturally twisted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. He's a mystic.
Yeah.
Ah, shit.
I felt a drop.
Dave and I are kindred spirits, and this is a poem that I wrote about one of his paintings called Desktop.
Okay.
As you become more and more of a vaulted barman, spilled drops like that will just practically send you into eruptions.
Yeah.
What happens when you knock over a video? What's going to happen?
Well, at that point, he'll drop the sword, and, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to work
anymore. Okay. All right, shush, quiet.
Yeah.
Okay. Smart.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, this is entitled Dust Trap.
Dust Trap?
Yes.
Dust Trap.
Yes.
Okay.
While he waits in a slumped, spent pile of flesh for the calmer, disembodied heads to prevail, he lays before a stupa of missing images and sees beyond the miscolored memory of all the world to a hovering Wedgwood bond. And he glances back down to the one with a mute mouth, awaiting one sole word.
Wow. That's nice.
I'm glad to explain that one to me.
Ah,
no, I don't understand it.
I couldn't explain it to you because I don't understand it myself.
Marks of the school of deep metaphor. Beyond explanation. Like you see, they hit you
in
with
the tradition of deep thought and deep throat.
Yeah.
11. What is it, Nat? What is stultifying you? I don't know. There's something here. Something elusive. Something strange and new touched on here to... A new touchdown here before, lightly nudged in view of that ragged man, when wheeling crankily in the wake of that blubberous woman. If it's all been so damned strange, what then is eternal for you? Let me take you there, to that eternal place. Let me take you there in this story now. I will devise its ending to suit your going to this eternal place. No, says Nat aloud. What say you, Natty? Says Delancey. I'll go there myself, he growls, wheeling toward the front door. Delancey sees a shuddering, shifting expression on his boss's face. Leaving early, he says pleasantly, knowing he will get no answer. Gets none. Bound for the eternal with the strange. Nat stops just inside the door, glares upon Delancey with solid fear. I don't know, he says, and wheels out the door. Wheels rapidly to his destination, no time for buses or trains. 12. He got Delancey to spend a Saturday afternoon recently changing the tires on his chair. These are fat tires for sure, Natty. Good for bowling through drifts. Good for running down lassies in the street. Fine, just screw them tight, kilt wearer. I always screw them tight, boss man. Using his fingerless black gloves and a practice wheeling motion, Nat zoomed through the ever more furious snowstorm the day outside his joint had greeted him with. 13. When you're feeling like mortality is bearing down upon you, like you're the paralyzed deer in some speeding Mack truck's headlights, like the universe is a giant windshield and you're the helpless fly, ain't no time to be making new friends with persons, places, or things. No, sir, it's time to be hurrying as fast as your two strong legs or fat body luggers' wheels can convey you to certainty, permanence, the shards of guaranteed joy or at least safety that life so far has offered you. If you were Nathaniel Roger Perfect crunching along through snow in a damned hurry, you'd be bound for the Boston Museum of Fine Arts, Huntington Avenue. You'd roll hurriedly from the post office square in the business district, an ugly many-fingered paw of an area, on up to the common, push hard through ghosts of marching soldiers, hung martyrs, and chewing cows. Find yourself on Newbury Street. Not slack your pace a moment as you push through the lazy day traffic and slush, pick up your pace into Copley Square, the Hancock Tower, its blue cruel deity, and on to Huntington. Now you're in the territory of Northeastern University, working-class megapolis of a school. Past its barnacled shops and bars, finally museum drawing nigh, set back from the street, an Indian on horseback summons the sky's theater to rumble and reveal, with no fortune on this so far. Through the parking lot on the side of the newer of the museum's two buildings, and in, ignoring the $5 suggested donation sign for tonight, is always for you and all other folk free night, an elevator up past a dozen pictures, each a perfect moment caught, revealed, framed, as helpful as things are allowed to be. There it is, the room of French Impressionist paintings, and there she is. 14. Nat Perfect rolls his wheelchair, now quite slowly, reverently. This is not like the rest of his life, confused, fucked up, or annihilated. No, this is where he rediscovered his life, where he found amidst bullshit artist daisies and conforming cheerleader grasses a precious yellow dandelion of singularity, and he held on for an eternity of briefness until its head ripens into hoary whiteness and he grasps it, this his hope, to save him from cocaine and punk nightmares, the capitulant pussy's sweet lying poison, and he blows and blows, the seeds jump off in bunches, each to a different space, he blows and blows, now but a few left clinging to the head, now two, now one, air has left his lungs near completely. Blows and blows, the effort is successful. He passes out, not to wake until music for dancers summons him, and he is puffed and puffed to open-eyed wonder at how beauty is near him, and my, how she dances. I'm always happy when I come here. I sit before her, knowing her name and that of her moments, knowing that dance at Bougival doesn't begin to tell, knowing that most who come here will never suspect that there's more they are not aware of. Secrets, secrets. I used to look at you and see Hannah, tasty young lost Hannah. No. Was she you? Yes. Were you her? No. Funny how my thoughts are a jumble today. Usually I find calm and clarity in your presence. Today you are strange to me. I despise this. Wait, my eyes are closed. I'm not looking at you. I'm seeing you in my mind's eye, but I'm not looking at you. Eyes open. No. Don't want to. Eyes open. No. Don't want to. Must. Okay, give me the worst. 16. Fruit. Fucking fruit. Fruit displayed on a stand. Fucking fruit displayed on a fucking stand. What? Fruit. Fruit? What? Gustav Kayabat. Fruit displayed on a stand. About 1880, oil on canvas, Fannie P. Mason Fund in memory of Alice Thevin, 1979.196, Kayabat, 1848-1894. Fruit. No loveliness held in wanting arms. No curves swathed in pink. Fucking fruit. Nat wheels closer to the picture. Closer, slowly, closer. It's a smaller one, hung closer to the floor than Dance at Bougival. Closer, slowly, closer. It contains no human figures save the implicit truth that various human hands plucked those fruits, were responsible for transporting them, and arranged them like so on the depicted cart. Even if this is irrelevant to the facts of what is on the wall, they are the pittance this picture has to connect it to its absent humanity. Fucking fruit. Closer, slowly, closer. Fucking fruit. Excuse me, sir, but could you back away from the wall a bit? What? You're too close to the wall. It's not allowed. The voice behind him is a man's, stern but slightly reluctant. Nat has no wherewithal to contend with persons right now. Backing up quickly, knowing this will push off the guard a bit, Nat wheels rapidly through several rooms bound for the elevator. He's dazed. This loss is not like the others he's known. Deaths, departures, withered romances, even the fact of life no longer navigated through on two upright legs. No, this is personal in a way that these other situations weren't. This doesn't involve another's heart or affections. It's about him. It's about what happened to him as he sat looking at her those years ago. What he saw in the painting. What he saw on the other side of that painting. How he arrived in that room on that day, on one side of that painting, on one side of his life, and departed from the other, on the other side of that painting, on the other side of his life. How despite everything that this has never changed. How when he came to see this painting, since he looked out at it and enjoyed it, writhed with dark sensuousness within it, but never failed to see beyond it to that other side, his past, where he had been and was now no more. Now this portal, and all these crazy things it meant to him, was missing. Unburdened by reason, Nat Perfect wheeled roughly around the first floor of the Museum of Fine Arts, thinking, this will not do. 17. Somehow coming to a stop in a large room of modern American painters. Georgia O'Keeffe, Stuart Davis. Before him, a coffin-shaped canvas by Jackson Pollock. Pollock's paintings had often slowed his roll through the museums of his life. Something singular there, but what? Some language the man had invented with his splatters and his recklessness? Each canvas an utterance, a quasi-lingual force, and damn it, Nat Perfect could nearly understand. Today, no impediment. Today, in his angry, shorn state, Nat Perfect understood what he hadn't before. That is, a heart's bellow, such as the one before him, does not press for dialogue, for a, I feel this way, and you, exchange. Nay, this canvas was utter sentiment, naked and tremulous, whose intent was to invite what passing souls were able to heed it into its sphere, the broken brown-gray scape of its rendered existence. Nat found himself again on the other side of a painting, within it, looking out. This was not the laughing, dancing countryside of 19th century rural France. This was a place less identifiable in time and place, and far more shifting, falling, changing, broken. This place resembled astonishingly to Nat the life he'd lived as a punk rock druggie lost. He might have stayed there, flapping brutally about in this cracked waking nightmare, had not a crew-cut, turn-capped, dumb-cow jock linked in arm-in-arm to some gum-cracking cunt on stilts, jostled his chair slightly in passing. Jock gave him a silent, dirty look and moved along.